Tonight, we're going to start a study for the next few weeks over the summer in the book of Proverbs. I was thinking about what we would do over the course of the summer, and Proverbs has been on my mind for probably the last few months, and I came across a really helpful book that is a 13-lesson study of the book of Proverbs, and I thought that I might use that as our guide to walk through the book of Proverbs over the course of the summer. The book is called Opening Up Proverbs. It is by Jim Neuheiser. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm just going to go through some of the introductory and background material that he has at the beginning of the study, just to kind of introduce us to the book of Proverbs, and then we'll launch into the study next week. One of the things that he mentions in the beginning of his study is that Proverbs is a book about success. There, as you read through the book of Proverbs, if you've read through it, some people have a habit of reading through Proverbs every month, maybe taking a chapter of Proverbs every day. And if you do that, you can get through Proverbs every month because there's 31 chapters. If you've had any time in Proverbs, then one of the themes that you come across often is the idea of success, of God making your path straight, of God's hand of blessing on you, even at times speaking of long life, length of days. And so this theme of success, and he talks about that and just is talking about the fact that one of the things that our culture wrestles with is this idea of success. But the way that our culture defines success and the way the Bible defines success are really two different pictures, aren't they? So the world defines success as money, as fame, as power, authority, influence. But Proverbs doesn't define it that way. Proverbs doesn't define success just as more money or just as more luxuries or just as more fame. Proverbs defines success more in relationship to the Lord and his hand of blessing on your life. And so we're going to walk through Proverbs and see how this theme works its way out. But Proverbs reveals how you can have success in every aspect of your life. And one of the things that Proverbs does is it touches on a lot of aspects of our daily lives. It touches on our work. It touches on our family relationships. It touches on friendships. It talks about how we communicate with one another. And so lots of things that it addresses in everyday life and how we can be successful in the Lord's eyes in all of those areas of life. And so Proverbs defines success differently than the world does. And here's how he defines success from Proverbs in his study. He says, success is found in living wisely in the fear of the Lord. To live wisely is to live beautifully. That is to live a life that counts. And obviously by that, he means a life that counts not from the world's eyes, but a life that counts from God's perspective, a life that is lived in the fear of God, in obedience to his word for his glory. And that's a full life. That's a life that is well lived and a life that is lived abundantly. As Jesus says, he came to give us not only life, but life abundantly. And if we follow the principles that are laid out in the wisdom of Proverbs, we can enjoy some of that bountiful life, that abundant life that God desires for us to have, even in this life, in this world, before the new heavens and the new earth. One of the things that Proverbs, that we see in Proverbs is that Proverbs, the book of Proverbs in the Bible, is on the one hand like other Proverbs that other cultures and other languages have. There's a lot of similarity. So, for example, many cultures and many languages have proverbs that express just common wisdom, common everyday wisdom. We might think of some proverbs that we know of in our culture, in our language, like people used to say, maybe sometimes still say, a stitch in time saves nine, right? It's just a general proverb. And what does it mean? Well, if you take care of things early, as soon as a problem starts to manifest itself, it can save you a whole lot of trouble down the road, right? That's kind of the general principle of that proverb. And we have lots of proverbs like that in our own language. Many ancient cultures, even outside of Israel, had proverbs like this. It was a form of literature that existed way back in the ancient world. These short sayings that talked about just general wisdom, general principles of life. So what makes Proverbs unique, different from those? Well, the thing that makes Proverbs unique is that the whole book of Proverbs is set within the framework of the fear of the Lord. That it is not just generally observed principles about life, but wisdom about life filtered through God's other revelation in his word, and with specific reference to desiring to obey and fear God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And so biblical proverbs are unique in that they are grounded in a covenant relationship with the Lord God. Proverbs assumes that you are a person who desires to be in the fear of the Lord, a person who is a part of the covenant people of Israel, who is already in relationship with the Lord. And here's how you nurture and develop that relationship with the Lord and live under his blessing. And so right relationship with God, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of all wisdom. And we read that in the opening verses of Proverbs. And so Proverbs is like other proverbial literature, but it's also unique in that it is God's inspired revelation and comes to us through his inspired prophets and talks about the fear of the Lord. How does Proverbs relate to the rest of the Bible, especially the rest of the Old Testament? Proverbs, what they are really are, they're short, memorable sayings that impart general truths of wisdom. If you remember some of the other studies that we've done before, I think it might even been one of the first studies that I did on Sunday night after I came, Read the Bible for Life. And that study of Read the Bible for Life was a kind of an overview of the different kinds of literature that's in the Bible. So you have laws and you have gospels, you have prophecy, you have wisdom literature. Well, Proverbs is a form, a subtype, if you will, of wisdom literature. And it's a special kind of literature in that Proverbs are short, memorable sayings that are easy to remember, easy to repeat, easy to teach, and they have kind of general wide application to things that happen in life. They're a special form of Old Testament wisdom literature. And here's the thing. Here's how Proverbs relates to the rest of the Old Testament, is that Proverbs assumes and builds upon what the law and the prophets say. So Solomon, as he is writing and gathering Proverbs and collecting them, he is doing that with the understanding that these are to be understood in harmony with the law of Moses, in harmony with the Ten Commandments. There's one God and one God alone. There's only one God to be worshipped. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Honor your father and mother. Remember the Sabbath day. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. And as you read through Proverbs, you can see those laws manifested, lived out, but then applied in very specific situations of life. And so basically Proverbs is assuming and building on top of the law and the prophets and then seeking to apply it to everyday life. It's kind of a how-to, practical wisdom application of God's truth. Here are some challenges that we face as we read Proverbs and try to study it. One is that Proverbs is unique in that it really doesn't lend itself to just a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study. If you did Proverbs in that way, you would end up covering a lot of the same ground kind of over and over again, because there are a lot of themes that are repetitive throughout Proverbs. Now, what we're going to do in this study is the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, they kind of are more easily studied that way, in chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because they're kind of setting the foundation for the smaller individual sayings that come later in the book. So chapters 1 through 9 is more of longer instruction. But then once you hit chapter 10 of Proverbs, really it's kind of a loose collection of individual sayings that, at least on the surface, don't seem to have any particular pattern in the way that they're stitched together over the next 21 chapters. So once we get to chapter 10, we're going to do more of a topical, thematic study of some of the main themes that show up in Proverbs. The other thing that makes Proverbs difficult, or it's a challenge at least, is that Proverbs doesn't really just come out and say, here's the gospel. It doesn't proclaim the gospel. It doesn't clearly explain the gospel, how you come into a right relationship with God. Well, again, that goes back to something that we said a few moments ago, and that is because Proverbs already assumes that relationship, right? Proverbs kind of is wisdom literature that is given to God's people who are already in covenant relationship with the Lord. This is practical, everyday advice of how you live out your faith. And so it kind of assumes that you're already in relationship with the Lord. Another challenge in Proverbs is that, and this is where some people trip up, I think, in reading and trying to interpret Proverbs, is that Proverbs, by their very nature, they're short maxims or short sayings that are general statements. And it's important for us to remember that they're not the same as promises. They're not the same as set in stone promises. Let me give you one example that I think can cause people a lot of heartache if they think about it in the wrong way. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, I know parents who have had a difficult time in thinking, you know, here, I thought I did everything the right way and brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but now they're going off on the wrong path. And then they can end up, maybe not intentionally, but sometimes they can end up allowing Proverbs 22:6 to kind of beat them over the head of, what did I do wrong? But that's a really a wrong way of understanding how Proverbs work, because Proverbs are not a promise for every scenario in every situation. Because these short, memorable sayings cannot take into account every single scenario, right? They can't take into account every situation, every little possibility that may come up, the exceptions to the rule, if you will. So even though there might be exceptions, there might be things that don't always happen that way, the general principle still holds true, right? The general principle of that is, what you put in is what you get in the end, but there are factors that are beyond our control. And especially if we understand the bigger picture of the scriptures, and we come to understand how God works in the hearts of people by grace, we come to realize that really even a person coming to the Lord by grace is not something that's under our control as parents, right? And so there are things that are outside of our control. Generally speaking, if you bring your children up right, will they stay in the right path? Yes, it's a general principle, but it's not an absolute promise that it happens that way in every situation. And there are many other proverbs that I could give as examples of that. But it's important to remember that they're just general principles that have truth about life, but they don't take into account every scenario, every possibility. One of the other things that we need to keep in mind as we read through Proverbs is that, you'll see this as you read through it, is it seems to be primarily addressed to young men. And that's true. And I think originally when it was first written, these Proverbs were first gathered and when they were first taught, that was probably the first setting in which they were used, is either fathers teaching their young sons how to live godly in the world, or, as we'll see in a moment, another setting that some have suggested for Proverbs is the palace or the court, in which young men are being trained for future responsibility, future leadership in the kingdom of Israel. That's also a possibility. So as you read through Proverbs and it continually says, my son or young man, don't think that it doesn't apply to you. That's the original setting in which it was given, but there are practical lessons that are applicable to anyone who reads Proverbs. And I'm going to talk about those now. Is what are some different ways that Proverbs applies to all of us? Well, one is it prepares young people to face the challenges and the responsibilities of adulthood. So there is a lot in Proverbs that is specifically helpful to young people who are learning how to walk the path of life, especially incredibly important information that it would be good for them to learn from Proverbs rather than to learn on their own the hard way. So there is a very important purpose in Proverbs for teaching young people how to live for God in the world. But we also see in Proverbs that there are instructions to parents on how to train their children, train their young people. There are instructions of wisdom to those who are young and naive, who need more discernment and understanding. But there are also teachings for those who are already on the path of wisdom to deepen and to strengthen their understanding of God's wisdom. And then it also has the purpose of showing who the foolish are, exposing the foolish and what will happen, the consequences of their rebellion, their arrogance. And so Proverbs is very, very applicable to many, many audiences. Here's just a little bit of background and summary of Proverbs that we're going to look at. In verse number one, it gives us the title that these are the Proverbs of Solomon. And as I mentioned a moment ago, Proverbs are essentially short sayings. Here's what Bruce Waltke says in his commentary. He says a proverb is a short, witty saying that gives you a standard by which you might judge your life. And then he goes on to say, a comparison, an object lesson, a simple illustration, or a parable which exposes a fundamental reality about life. And so they're short, they're oftentimes memorable, they're catchy, and they give general truths about life and how it applies to our lives. What's the purpose of Proverbs? Well, the objective of the book is to enable us to live successfully in relationship to God in the world he has created. So as you read through Proverbs, much like Ecclesiastes, it is focused on this life under the sun, if you will. This life, this world that we are currently living in, how do we live in it in wisdom, in the fear of God, and live it with God's blessing on us? That's what it's about. Who wrote Proverbs? Well, the simple answer is Solomon, right? It says, verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon. But as you read through Proverbs, you can actually see that it's a little bit more complex than that. We have Solomon. 1 Kings tells us that Solomon himself spoke over 3,000 Proverbs. So we know that a good portion of this book is probably directly goes back to him. But there's other material that's in the book of Proverbs as well. And so, for example, in 22:17 and 24:23, we have this reference to the sayings of the wise. Well, who are those? Who are the sayings of the wise? And some people have noted some close similarity there in those portions of Proverbs to some statements, some Proverbs that we have from ancient Egypt. And so we know that Solomon, as a wise king, he had people coming to him from all over the place. We read about that, right? We read about the Queen of Sheba coming to Solomon. Solomon had interactions with many peoples around him. He was, in his day, the most powerful and most widely influential king in Israel's history. And so he had a lot of interaction with people around Israel, different cultures, especially when you think about how many wives Solomon had, right? He had a lot of wives. And what if you read the Old Testament history, what was the purpose of a lot of those marriages? And that day, a lot of those marriages were arranged for political alliances. And so Solomon had a lot of interaction with the cultures around him. And it's quite possible that he interacted with Egyptian wisdom literature. And God is using that and then through the filter of the fear of the Lord and the Torah, the law of Moses, here's how this is applicable to God's people. So we have the sayings of the wise. We have in chapter 30, another man mentioned Agur, sayings that his mother taught him. We have in chapter 31 a man by the name of Lemuel. So we have different people mentioned. And then we also have a reference in chapter 25, verse 1, to the men of Hezekiah. Well, in the timeline, I'm going to show you a timeline in just a moment, but in the timeline, Hezekiah was long after the time of Solomon. So what we can't do is we can't think of Proverbs as just like one book that Solomon sat down one day with a scroll and a quill and just wrote the whole thing. That's not how it happened. Most likely, Solomon had some of his own Proverbs that he came up with. He gathered Proverbs from other places, and he had a collection of those. We have Lemuel, we have Augur, we have the sayings of the wise. 25:1 says that Hezekiah's scribes found some other Proverbs of Solomon that they incorporated into the collection. And so it was probably a collection that had a lot of Solomon's fingerprint on it, but that really came to pass over time. And probably really didn't reach its final collection, its final form, until the time of Ezra. Most biblical scholars think that the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, as we now have them, in the order in which we have them, was very much due to Ezra's leadership and the scribes who were under his leadership. And that was after the exile, about 400, 450 BC. And so it was a time of collecting and growing with a heavy imprint of Solomon's influence on it. And here's the chart I was talking about. It might be, some of that might be hard to read, but you can see starting on the left hand, you've got Abraham about 2000 BC, Moses and Exodus around 1500, King David around 1000 BC, Solomon just a short time after that, say 950. Then you have the kingdom divided in 930. King Hezekiah isn't until 700 BC. So that's 250 years approximately after the time of Solomon. So 250 years later, Hezekiah was a king in Judah, and the men under him, scribes under him, found some other collected Proverbs of Solomon and brought them together into the collection. What about the setting? I mentioned this a few moments ago. The setting is probably two. One, the home, where we have mothers and fathers teaching, instructing their children in the ways of the Lord. And then one of the other possible settings as well is the palace or the court, in which we have the king or the sages under the direction of the king teaching young men who would be good potential candidates for leadership and for future responsibility in the king's administration. So some of that seems to apply there as well, especially when you come across, if you're in the presence of the king and you're a glutton, put a knife to your throat. Well, that seems to go directly into that setting of how you behave yourself in front of kings and in front of those in authority. So probably two of those settings may be kind of blended together in the book of Proverbs. And the last point, this is kind of give us an overview of what's coming and how Proverbs is divided. We have the prologue. That's what we're going to look at next week, chapter 1, 1 through 7. And then in 1:8 through 9:18, you have a tenfold call to pursue wisdom. And those are some of the longer sections that go together that we'll look at. And then beginning in chapter 10, you have the Proverbs of Solomon. In fact, it starts with that title in 10:1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, and then just a collection of these short sayings. You have the sayings of the wise in 22:17 through 24:34. And then you have more Proverbs of Solomon from the collection of Hezekiah and his men from 25:1 to 29. And then you have the words of Augur in chapter 30, the words of King Lemuel in chapter 31, 1 through 9. And then we know how the book of Proverbs closes with the poem on the virtuous woman or wifely excellence. And he mentions it's an acrostic because it is. There's 22 verses, and each letter or each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and probably intended that way to be memorable so that you would be able to remember the whole statement. So that's how the book ends. And so that will kind of set us up on the pattern for how we'll look at Proverbs. Chapters 1 through 9 will kind of take in a row, looking at the longer sections, longer teachings. Once we hit chapter 10, we'll spend a few weeks touching some thematic topics in the book of Proverbs. And so I hope this will be helpful to you. I really want it to be not just a study on how Proverbs is formed and its structure, but really how it applies to us and how we can actually become wise in the fear of the Lord.